Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles Range. We have your van.
As you may have heard this morning on Morning Ireland, specialist training for judges, lawyers and Gardaí is going to be introduced now to the justice sector to better support victims in sexual violence cases. The announcement by the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, is in response to recommendations by the O'Malley Review, which was published in August. The founder of the Victims Alliance, Linda Hayden, joins me on the line now. Linda, thank you very much for taking our call this morning. Is there good news before I arrive at what I presume are going to be criticisms of the what the government is doing here, but is there good news in this announcement for you today?
There is, absolutely, Philip, and thank you for having me on. There is a lot of different things in here that are particularly positive. One being the amount of training that's going to be provided to judges and senior counsel. There are a number of different kinds of victimisations that are happening now. So training on the likes of image-based crime and stuff like that would be really, really welcome, because some judges and senior counsel obviously wouldn't have much exposure to that kind of stuff.
What's image-based crime, Linda?
So where you have things like, it's traditionally would be known as revenge porn, and there's currently a bill working its way through the Dáil. It's at the Joint Justice Committee at the moment, where there will be a law brought in regarding image-based crime. So for them to be able to get some training on that would be very, very welcome.
And what is the training here, Linda? Is it to make them fully aware of the emotional impact that these crimes have on people, or what?
It would be more around kind of trying to get them to understand things from a victim's perspective and the handling of the victim. It would seem, from what I've seen of it, that vulnerable victims need to be treated differently. All of this is because of the EU Victims Directive that states that systems can't traumatise victims any further. So this is all to make sure that the victims aren't traumatised by the legal process.
Okay, what are the other good things?
The other good things are things like education plans around consent and things like that. Training for Gardaí as well as normal Gardaí as well as the DPSU units. So they've brought in these new DPSU units, Divisional Protective Services units, into every Gardaí division. They're in place now and have been since August, and they make a huge difference to people going in to report sex crimes. The other thing is training for normal Gardaí. So if in the course of being called to an incident, they come across a vulnerable victim, it's so that they will know how to deal with that victim. So these are all really, really positive things.
And in the protective service units, if you go to report a crime now, will you be guaranteed that you will be met by a female guard and that you will be attended to by somebody with appropriate training out of hours all the time?
It's not necessarily the appropriate training, the female guard, but the appropriate training, yes, absolutely. The DPSU units are getting extensive training, specialist training. And you can see the difference. Now, any experience I've had with them, we've made appointments to go in and give witness statements. But if you go in and you need to speak to somebody from the DPSU, there should be somebody there available.
And there isn't necessarily somebody all the time. They're not staffed to that level, are they?
Not at the moment, as far as I know. So that is something that we would like to see. We'd like to see, you know, guaranteed hours for all DPS units so that anybody can walk in at any time and report their sex crimes.
Does the gender of the Garda matter to victims?
I think the handling of the victim is more important, but in some cases it can be. And I know any of the DPSU units that I've dealt with do have a mix of male and female Gardaí. So if you wish to, I'm sure that you could request a specific gender.
This is all very well, but I wonder, would it be the case that in the mind of most potential victims, most potential complainants in a case, that the big thing that they're worried about, the biggest hurdle to overcome before they actually make a complaint is, what's going to happen to me when I get to court? What is going to happen to me when I get cross-examined by the defendant's barrister?
So there's a number of different things that were recommended by the O'Malley report, and it looks like they've been implemented here. One of the things that wasn't implemented was we were looking for victims to have legal representation in court. Because what happens is when you go and you make your statement, you actually become a witness for the state. So you have no kind of separate rights in terms of representation in court. And what that means is you can have things like the case in 2018 where senior counsel held up a 17-year-old virgin's tongue as that she was consenting. So in that instance, if there was somebody there legally representing that victim, they could have objected to that. And it would have meant that that line of questioning would not have gone down. They would not have gone down that route. Now, what the O'Malley report recommended was that if the defence is going to bring up victims' previous sexual history, there has to be a pre-trial hearing, and they will be assigned a barrister then. However, there are more than one way, you know, like your previous sexual history is one way to paint a picture of a victim. But there are things like what they were wearing, how much they'd had to drink, if drugs were involved, where they were at the time. So we still believe that people do still need legal representation because none of those things are relevant to whether somebody was raped or not.
The minister says that that would become very confusing, that you would essentially have, rather than a binary trial with two counsel on either side, that it would end up being triangulated with three parties throwing their oar in, and it could make proceedings very muddled.
But the thing about it is that you have to make sure that the victim's rights as well as the accused's rights are maintained. And we've seen, take for example the Belfast rape trial, you had a girl 9 days on the stand when the accused were only a half a day each. You know, there has to be a balance to it. So we would definitely like to see something like legal representation still brought in.
And at the end of the day, the defendant is also, as long as they are entitled to the best defence that they can possibly get, that is going to involve stress testing the credibility of a complainant in pretty robust terms. There's nothing that you're ever going to be able to do to change about that, is there?
There isn't, but there are also things that are not relevant, like what the victim was wearing at the time is not relevant. How much they drink or, you know, what kind of other behaviour they engage in is not relevant to whether somebody chose to take their consent away or not.
Indeed. And maybe perhaps the place to bring that up is with training for judges rather than by introducing a special representation, a barrister for the complainant?
We would definitely welcome the training for judges because we have seen time and time again where we have judges and senior counsel who traumatise the victim again with summing up and things like that. So definitely that would be welcome, but we still maintain that there should be somebody there to object.
This is not the first time that we've been here. It's not the first time that a reforming Minister for Justice has tried to change attitudes and culture around how these cases are prosecuted in court. And the legal system has proven pretty resistant to embracing those changes. Do you think that this is going to be different this time?
The fact that it took so long to get the O'Malley report out and the Minister's commitment to getting implementation put in within 10 weeks, and even the fact that the DPSUs have all been rolled out now, is all very positive moves. I think we're starting to see victims getting collective voice. That's why we exist in Victims Alliance, you know. We're here to start pointing out holes in the systems and, you know, start talking about what we need, and we're going to use collective voice to do so. So I think there won't really be an option because victims are going to keep talking about this, and we're finding our voices. We've been kept quiet and shamed for far too long. So now we're going to start using our collective voice to make sure that we're pointing out the holes, pointing out the systems and the supports that are lacking, or ones that we need to see more of. And actually just saying, this needs to be better. So I think they won't really have an option Because we will be there and we will be using our voice very
and
loudly.
More broadly speaking, is there a wider cultural shift here thanks to the Me Too movement that means that you're more likely to be successful or you have a more receptive audience for your requests this time round?
I think the receptive audience, yes, definitely, but we're not seeing the numbers stack up. We're seeing a drop in detection rates, we're seeing a drop in prosecutions being brought, and while we're seeing when cases do get to court, particularly around sex crimes, we have like a 52%, I believe, conviction rate. But that's very low based off we're only having roughly about 12% of people reporting. So anything that's going to make it easier for people to report is brilliant. The supports there for victims to be able to report are also very welcomed. But we need to make sure that we're ensuring that people get their day in court, that their voices are heard, and that they're getting a chance to justice.
Linda Hayden, founder of the Victims Alliance, thank you very much for joining us this morning. A few more of your texts. Listening to your show this morning, it strikes me that we have become a nation of snitchers. I'm doing everything right, but those people over there need to cop on, says Liam in Limerick. Why doesn't the government understand the importance of messaging? The message about self-isolation is not getting through. It has not been clear. There needs to be blanket coverage of the message with graphics as there was with hand washing. The same with how to wear a mask correctly. 50% of people don't get this, says Maura Kilfeather in Sligo. And there is so much re-traumatisation of victims done without any awareness of the impact and the reliving that is going on in the mind of the victim. This training is very welcome, says Stephanie Regan, a clinical psychotherapist.